If you knew that you were about to die and you had one last conversation with those you love, how would you go about it? What would you say? And it's with that in mind that I invite you to think of what Jesus was saying to the disciples that time ago. They'd known him for 3 years. They'd been with him a lot. That is to say, physically, they'd journeyed with him to many places. And there is that in our bodies which misses those that we've physically been close to or spent time with. And Jesus says, well, there's going to be change. We most of us don't like change. He says, there's going to be change. I'm going away. In fact, I'm going to heaven. I'm going back to my Father. I won't be here with you physically. But let not your heart be troubled. We are of those down the years who have never seen him, literally or physically. But the same applies to us. Let not your heart be troubled. It applies to every believer. All that he said to his first believers apply to every one of his subsequent ones. In my Father's house are many mansions. Greek means places to stay, not possibly mansions as we think of mansions, and not the sort of slums there are in London that are called Victoria Mansions or something else like that as well. It means places that he is preparing for us. Now that full of ideas, he's gone to prepare a place for us. He knows what we need, what we like. I can't even imagine. But if the Lord has gone to prepare a place to get it ready for us, that must be a very wonderful thing that he does. And he says, I would have told you. Now, I like those words because it gives the key to so many other things. He would have told us anything that we needed to know. What he has told us are true. If it were not so, I would have told you. So that when Jesus goes on later in this chapter to speak about things that are in the future and are so desperately important, we know that they're true. If they weren't, he would have told us. So we may believe. We may put our confidence in him. I'm going, he says, to prepare a place for you, to receive you to myself, so that you may be there as well. And I'm going there, and you know where I'm going, and you know the way. It confuses Thomas. Now, Thomas and Philip both take Jesus up on things he's saying, and they make things much clearer, but they do get a gentle rebuke, very gentle rebuke. He doesn't upbraid them, but he just makes them think. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So what does he mean? The Lord Jesus means, you know I'm going to heaven, and you know the way to go to heaven yourself. But it perplexes Thomas. I don't know how to go about it, he says. I don't know. Lord, we know not whither thou goest. We've never been to heaven. We've heard you talk about it and talk about the Father's presence. But we can't really take it in what it means. And as for going there, which road do we take? Thinking physically, I've often thought along these lines. If we had to make our own way to heaven, or if we had to walk to heaven, or even fly to heaven, I don't think we'd be as good as the birds at finding their homing instincts. But of course, these are not things that Jesus meant. Jesus says to him, I am the way. Jesus says, I'm going away, but I am the way. What sort of a way? Well, I am the way of love. I am the way of service. I am the way of mercy. And that way, serving me, you will receive love and mercy from me. And you will find yourself brought to heaven. Jesus says to the one, to Thomas, who says, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus says, well, you can know it this way. I am the way. Within your own power, do as I have done. Show my sort of life to fellow disciples and to the world. Keep on doing this. Trust in me. I am the way. I am the way to God. I am the way through this world. I am the way by which you will attain the glory that you desire. And then he said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He meant he was true, of course. He meant he was genuine. There are so many competing claims to be true in this world that it would be very, very easy to get ourselves into all sorts of intellectual somersaults and to get ourselves into all sorts of difficulties emotionally and intellectually. And Jesus says, to keep it simple, I am the truth. Just think about me. Just think of what I've taught you about God. Just think of the miracles that I've done, the teaching I've given. Do I not seem to come with the authority of God that makes these words true, that you know they're true? He didn't say, but does Muhammad come in the name of God, with the authority of God? Does he do the kind things, merciful things that God does? You've only got to look at him and you see there's no comparison between Jesus Christ and between Muhammad. And the same goes for all the other religions. What do the other religions require? Do they not require terrible things? Do some not put children through the fire and burn them? Do others not do human sacrifice? All sorts of other things that wicked, heathen, alternative religions do. So Jesus says, I am the truth. He wasn't invited to speak about truth. He was invited to explain the way. But he goes on to say, I am the truth. And he goes on to say in that verse, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an extraordinary claim. The world would say, if when we teach these things, that we're prejudiced, that we're bigoted, and that we don't know what we talk about, because we say that every other religion is false. Every other way of thinking, humanism or so on, is false. Beginning from any other start than Christ, it's false. That's a big thing to say, isn't it? If it's not of Christ, it's wrong. It's of Satan. It is a lie. And people don't like to hear that. And maybe we've got a lot of thinking to do ourselves. Do we actually believe? You see, the world teaches relative truth. All right? Your way of believing may be right for you, but the other way of believing may be right for someone else. But it isn't if you believe there's an absolute truth, and that absolute truth is Christ. You will know the truth. Now we must say, do we actually believe that? Can we come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I do believe that thou art exclusive, that there is none like you, that nobody else can do what thou hast done. Nobody else being without sin can make atonement for sin. No one else can bring his disciples acceptably into the presence of God. Jesus said, I am the truth. And a Christian is someone who believes that. Someone who knows that in the depth of their heart. Someone who's committed their life to Christ in full knowledge of that. I said this morning, my life absolutely depends upon Christ. If he fails, or if he lets me down, then I am nothing. I don't claim to know anything except what the Bible says. All other things that I might learn are taught by fallible men, sinful men. So when the word of God, about creation for example, is pitted against those other things, I know that God is true, I know that Christ is true, but I know that it's sinful men who invent millions of years. Whatever. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no alternative way. Just as Jesus taught in one of his parables that there's no way of getting from hell to heaven once you've died. That's the parable of Dives and Lazarus. So it's true that there is no other way to the Father. And if we don't go that way, then we won't go to the Father. We won't see the Lord Jesus. We won't have everlasting life that isn't worthy of the name. Though all have everlasting souls, and even in hell will exist eternally. I am the way, the truth, and no one cometh to the Father but by me. But I am also the life. The Lord Jesus says that the words of God are life. My words are life. And life is spiritual life he's talking about. Our life, if you like, is our breath. Knock it out of us and we're dead. But spiritual life is fed by the word of God. And it's fed by the way the word of God affects us. How it makes us think. How it makes us live. How it draws us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his life, his perfect life, building up to our perfection. But we're perfect because it's imputed unto us. I am the life. You're on your way to heaven. You're sampling that life. You're beginning to sample the affections of heaven, beginning to sample the worship of heaven, all these things. I am the life. When you put together that the Lord Jesus is the way to the Father, the truth about the Father and the future, and the life of the Father which we may share in, these are wonderful claims. And then he says to Thomas, very gently, if ye had known me, you should have known the Father. Well, earlier I talked about knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. What Jesus is saying now to Thomas, who did know him, see, in the sense in which we're talking about. He did know him. But he says, if you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, he says this to Thomas, but notice it's ye. He's talking to all of them, although he's answering Thomas. Because Thomas has said, we know not, speaking on all their behalf. And so Jesus answers to them, ye. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now, they did know him, but they didn't put two and two together in the sense of understanding that he was the Son of God, that every characteristic of him which they so loved and admired was the same as the Father. This is what the Father is like. I was very impressed recently. I think I've probably told you twice already. But I was reading again the story of Moses and how he asked God to reveal himself to him. And when God went by, he proclaimed his nature to him, merciful and having compassion upon thousands of them that love him. This is God. He's merciful. He's not severe. Well, he may be severe with those who continue in sin, but in drawing his disciples to himself and in dealing with his disciples, he is very compassionate. If you had known me, you would have seen that the Father is identical. I've got a human body, of course. You know me and you know me in that body, but the characteristics that I show are the characteristics of the Father. The characteristics which you love mean that you will find the Father the same as me in that sort of way. If ye had known me, really known me, ye should have known my Father also. And to say it's a very gentle rebuke, he says, from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Only had to be pointed out to them that Jesus, the way, the truth and the life, was in every respect exactly as God, except that he became man to be mediator. Everything about him showed what God would be like if he could be seen. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So Philip has a question now. It arises out of what Jesus had just said. So Philip says to him, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. So Jesus is able to elaborate on that point. He says, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me? You've not known that I'm the Son of God. You've not seen my perfect life. You've not seen my Godhead. You've not seen my power over the evil things, over the winds and the waves as well. You've not seen my power over disease. Have you not known me? Have you not known all this long time, Philip? Show us the Father. Look at me. I am exactly the same as the Father. I am God the Son. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou? Show us the Father. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father in me? The words I speak are the words the Father would speak to you. Believe me. And if you find it difficult to believe me because I'm leaving you, at least remember the things that I've done, the walking on the water, the stilling of the winds and waves, the healing of the demoniac, the healing of the woman who had been bleeding all those years, and healing of those who were dead. Think about those things. Believe me for the very work's sake. So as we read, in the scriptures about Jesus. And we read about things he did as well as the things he taught. This is what the Father is like. And these words give us life. The Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In that sense, it is a simple faith. But it gives the foundation for the things that are very complex in life. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, for example. There's a tremendous complexity and things can go wrong. There's a tremendous complexity in creation, but it never goes wrong. We've seen the Father in seeing Christ, and in seeing Christ, we see the Father. I am the way, he said, the truth and the life. They were invited, you and I are invited, to put all our faith, all our trust in him alone. May we do so. Amen. And taking up the theme,